Good morning, I'm Doug Tribou. Female genital mutilation is the cultural and sometimes religious practice of cutting young girls, often with the goal of restricting their ability to enjoy sex later in life. The practice became a federal crime in 1996, but now, for the first time, the government is prosecuting an alleged case of FGM. The investigation is focused on a clinic in Metro Detroit. After a new indictment last week, a total of six adults are facing charges. They're all members of a small Indian Muslim sect. And authorities say they have identified six victims, four girls from Michigan and two from Minnesota. Joining me now to discuss the legal aspects of the case is Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School. Henning also previously worked in the criminal division of the U.S. Department of Justice. Peter, welcome to Morning Edition on Michigan Radio.
Thank you for having me.
The federal law making FGM a crime is more than 20 years old. Many states have their own bans, so we know there are concerns about the practice happening here in the U.S. Why might it have taken this long to see a case be prosecuted?
I think part of it is that this is a practice that really flies beneath the radar of law enforcement, that it is confined to fairly small communities. It just hasn't really come up to be prosecuted at the federal level. There have been a few state prosecutions.
The people charged so far include Jumana Nagarwala, the doctor accused of performing FGM, the husband and wife who own the clinic in Livonia where the girls were allegedly cut, plus two of the girls' mothers and another woman who was allegedly present for the procedures. One of the counts against them is conspiracy to commit female genital mutilation. Would you explain how a conspiracy charge works and how it affects the way a case is handled?
Well, conspiracy is one of the classic charges used in federal cases when you have multiple defendants. What the government has to prove is that each member of the conspiracy agreed to engage in the illegal conduct, although it's not required that each play a significant role in it. What the charge allows the government to do is, if the case goes to trial, to say to a jury, these people are all involved together in this criminal conduct, it expands the potential evidence available to prosecutors.
Are there any specific challenges or pressures on the investigators and the prosecutors when they're trying to bring the first case in the history of a law, as is the case here?
There are going to be challenges to the statute, whether it is constitutional or not, because this is essentially a type of assault statute or assault crime. Typically, that's not something charged by the federal government. Plus, there are issues of religious freedom. First Amendment defense could possibly be raised in this case. The doctor is saying this is a religious practice that is, and I expect this will be brought up, that is similar to male circumcision. The courts here and the prosecutors and defense lawyers are really flying blind, trying to figure out how are we going to go about determining what the law is in this area.
The U.S. Attorney's Office has estimated that Nagarwala could have cut as many as 100 girls over about a dozen years. That is an estimate, and I should note that one of the defense attorneys in the case has repeatedly accused the prosecutors of overstating the situation. Given all of that, how likely is it that we'll see more people charged in this case?
In this particular case, that's certainly a possibility, although prosecutors want to be careful that the case doesn't become too unwieldy. Indeed, even adding the two mothers to the case raises an interesting question that those could be two very sympathetic defendants. So I would expect they may well try to keep it where it is at the moment with the six defendants. But I do think we're going to see more investigations in this area. Once something becomes uncovered and gains media attention, we're likely to see more victims of these procedures coming forward, and so it has a bit of, if you will, a snowball effect. So we could well see other cases coming in the near future.
Peter Henning is a professor of law at Wayne State University. Peter, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.